For nearly a quarter of a century, Art Linkletter hosted a radio and then a television program that shared the name House Party. Some of you might remember that. You might remember that one of the features of those programs became known as Kids Say the Darndest Things. They'd bring little children out there and ask them questions, and their innocent and sometimes very funny responses were just a delight. I remember seeing a clip of one, and Art Linkletter said, asked a little boy, "What's your daddy do for a living?" And he said, "My daddy died." He said, "Oh, I'm sorry. What did your daddy do before he died?" And the little boy said, "You just never know what you're going to get." So I want you to imagine that kind of a setting where these little children are asked the question, "What is God's name?" And a little boy says confidently, "Howard." "Howard? God's name is Howard?" "Yes." "Well, how do you know that?" He says, "Easy. Every week in church we pray, 'Our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name.'" Once the laughter dies down, a little girl's asked the same question, and she says, "God's name is Andy." "Really? Where do you come up with that?" She says, "Well, in church we sing, 'And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own.'" Now, we think these little kids don't listen. They're listening. They just maybe don't always put it together exactly right. All kidding aside, though, our God has a name. And it's not God. God's more of a title. Now, I don't think he minds when we refer to him as God. Oftentimes, he refers to himself as God. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for God is Elohim, which literally means gods. It's a plural word. And I believe that that reflects the fact that God exists eternally in three persons. We know of as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that is shortened to just the word El, and there are some titles that you hear in the Hebrew, El Shaddai, God Almighty. There are times in which we refer to God in that way, but that is not his name. The Lord God has a name just as we have. First names, used to call them Christian names. That we just refer to them as first names now. When the Lord revealed himself to Moses, in the passage that was read for us earlier from Exodus chapter 3, and then a couple of chapters later in chapter 6, a passage we'll look at in a moment, he gave Moses his name. His name is Yahweh. Sometimes shortened Yah in Hebrew. And it means, "I am who I am." Or, "I am." That is God's name. That is the name by which he reveals himself. In our English Bibles, you very rarely see the name Yahweh. What you will see is the name Lord, and either all four letters of Lord are capitalized, or the O-R-D in Lord is what they call small caps. They're capital letters but shorter than the L. Anytime you see that in your English Bible, there you see the name Yahweh or Yah. It appears over 5,000 times in the Old Testament. It is the name of the Lord. Now, names in the ancient world were believed to be intimately connected with the essence of an individual. So if you knew their name, you would know them. And the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was a God of many titles, but just one name. Now, we're beginning a new series this morning entitled Jesus in the Present Tense. I'm borrowing that title from a book by that same name by Warren Wiersbe. I usually don't like to do that. I try to come up with my own, but frankly, I couldn't come up with a better one. So I'm going to borrow that title, and we're going to follow the chapters in his book where he focuses on the I am statements of Jesus. Most of them we'll find in the Gospel of John. One we will find in the book of Acts. Now, most of the time when we see these statements of Jesus, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, the focus is at the end. And each week we will focus on what that means and how that applies to us today. But I want to begin our series by focusing on those first two words, I am. They're terribly significant. They may not seem that way to us, but to the original audience, it was very significant. Because every time Jesus began a statement with the words, I am, he was declaring that he was God. In fact, there's one particular passage we will look at in a later study where there is nothing after I am. And he says, before Abraham was, I am, which grammatically is very strange to our ears. But he was making a point, I am God. And trust me, the people that heard it knew it because they picked up stones to stone him to death. They knew he was claiming to be God. And so this morning I want to look at the significance of that name, I am, where we first see it here in Exodus chapter 3. It's not the first occurrence of the name, but it's the first time it is explained. So we're going to be spending most of our time in Exodus chapter 3. You're familiar with the story, I'm sure, that was read for us earlier. Moses is tending sheep. He sees a burning scrub brush, but the strange thing is it doesn't burn up. It just keeps burning and burning and burning. And he says, that's weird. It's in the Hebrew. I need to go check this out. And as he gets close, he hears a voice coming out of the bush saying, Moses, stop where you are. Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. And immediately Moses recognizes that this is God. God has a mission for Moses. I want you to go down and free my people, the Israelites, who have been enslaved by the Egyptians for over four centuries. And Moses has a laundry list of excuses why he shouldn't be the one to do it. And one of those excuses he gives, we see in verse 13. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell him? We begin with the inquiry of the divine name. Moses says, they're going to ask me, what is your name? What do I tell them? Understand that Israel at this time is in the land of Egypt. They've been there for 400 plus years. Egypt had a plethora of gods and goddesses, and they all had names. Interestingly, when you go through the 10 plagues later in the book of Exodus, every one of those plagues was directed at one of the gods of Egypt, showing that the God of the Hebrews was greater than all of the gods of Egypt. But they all had names. And these Israelites were familiar with the names of these gods. And so if Moses shows up and says, God has sent me, the God of your fathers, and they say, well, what's his name? Moses says, what am I supposed to tell them? Now, you might suppose from this question that Moses had never heard God's name before. He seems to be asking an honest question out of ignorance. I don't know your name. What is it? And something we read over in chapter 6 would tend to back that up. If you just turn over a page or two. Exodus chapter 6. It's within this same conversation. Verse 2, God said to Moses, I am the Lord. Using this word Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. In the Hebrew, that's El Shaddai. You may have heard that in a song or people saying that title. But by my name, the Lord, Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. So it sounds like this is the very first time that the name Yahweh has ever been used. Except that it isn't. It's used back in Genesis, repeatedly. Moses' mother's name was Jochebed, which used the word Yahweh in it. In fact, you see a lot of names in the Old Testament with Yah. Usually it's at the end. Elijah, by the way, there's no J in Hebrew. That's why when you see Jehovah, that's really a corruption of Yahweh, because there's no J and there's no V in Hebrew. It was lost in translation. Elijah, Yahweh is my God. You see in the prophets, Jeremiah, Obadiah, Zechariah, all of these names have Yah in it. And yes, that name appears before Moses in the time of Abraham. So how do we explain that? How can it be that Moses didn't know the name of God? And there are some scholars who take this to mean that Genesis, or at least those passages that use the name Yahweh, must have been written by somebody else. In fact, some of these scholars have come up with what they call the documentary theory, in which no less than four writers wrote what we know of as the books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible. And some of them used Elohim, some used Yah or Yahweh, and there's a couple of other ones I won't bore you with. But this really undermines the authority of the Word of God. And I don't think anybody who takes the Bible seriously can accept that theory. Moses wrote all five of these books. There is a unity within them. So that cannot be the explanation. So how do we understand this seemingly contradiction? I think it's because we misunderstand the question Moses asked. You see, if Moses was going to accomplish anything in Egypt, he needed to know the name of the Lord, because the Israelites were going to ask, who gives you the authority to tell us and Pharaoh what to do? But understand that in those days, the name meant the character, the personality, the inner reality of the person that was named. So to ask for the name of God was to ask for the nature of God in a profound respect. He wasn't so much asking, who are you? What is your name? As much as he's asking, what is the meaning of your name? We know your name. It's Yahweh. I am. You're what? What are you? Especially in the backdrop of 430 years of slavery. They might be asking not just who are you, but where are you? Why aren't you doing anything? It was the meaning of the name Moses is asking. In fact, the particular Hebrew interrogative he uses makes that clear. Again, I don't expect you to know all of the Hebrew, but there's two ways in Hebrew that you can ask the question, who are you and what is the meaning of your name? And Moses uses the second construction. He's asking, what does your name mean? He's anticipating the Israelites, after all of their suffering, asking, given all of that we've been through, what does I am mean anyway? And it's in that sense that Exodus 6 makes sense. One scholar puts it this way, and God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. I showed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the character of El Shaddai, but in the character of my name Yahweh, I did not make myself known to him. Meaning, I introduced myself, but I never really explained it. There is something in Scripture that is called progressive revelation. What that means is that God did not dump all of the truth about himself on the first people. There is a progression to his revelation. As time passes, he reveals more of himself. So in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he revealed his name. In the time of Moses, he's revealing his nature. So this inquiry of the divine name goes far beyond what is your name, and it asks, what does your name mean? And we could even make that more personal. What does that name mean to me? And that should be a question we all want to know the answer to. Who is God? Who is God to me? So Moses was sent to Egypt not just to declare a name, but to declare a nature. So we move on now to the identification of the divine name. I realize this is a bit anticlimactic because we've already been talking about it. But let's take a look in Exodus 3, verses 14 and 15 to what God has to say. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, there's Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Here we are introduced to the phrase, I am who I am. In the Hebrew, this consists of four consonants, YHWH. Originally, there were no vowels. They'd had a tough time playing Wheel of Fortune back then. Some scholars call this the tetragrammaton. No, you do not need to know that for a test. But if you ever come across the word, it's a fancy word for four letters. The Hebrew people revered that name so much, and they were afraid that they might use it in vain to the point that they wouldn't use it at all. They very rarely wrote it. They very rarely said it. Although, when it came to naming their children, sometimes they would put the name Yah as part of their name. People say today, why don't we use the name Yahweh today? I think it goes back to that reluctance by the Israelite people of misusing the name. I think it's unfortunate. I think it would be a good thing to use the name Yahweh, I am, understanding what it means. But I also realize that we've got literally centuries of church history in which we have not used it, and it's hard to break those trends. But at the very least, we should know what it is and what it means. When God says, I am who I am, He is conveying the concept of an absolute being, the one who is and whose dynamic presence works on our behalf. He doesn't just say, I exist. He says, I am who I am, and I don't change. I am here with you. I am here for you. Now, without a doubt, Yahweh is the most significant name in the Old Testament. One writer observes, no single word in Hebrew has ever evoked such a torrent of discussion as Yahweh, the personal name of the Hebrew God. He is known by many titles in Scripture, but only by one name, and that is Yahweh. We see this found archaeologically, outside the Scriptures, in many archaeological discoveries where the name of the Israelites' God is seen, and they called Him Yahweh. They knew the name. As I mentioned, it occurs over 5,000 times in the Old Testament, and it appears in a number of names. And when God speaks of Himself, He says, I am. When we speak of Him, we say, He is. Now, there are 9 places in the Old Testament where the Lord filled out or completed the name I Am to reveal more fully His divine nature and gracious ministry to His people. These are very similar to the I Am statements of Jesus we're going to look at in the weeks to come. I'll give you the passages. We won't take the time to look them up this morning, but if you'd like to jot them down, and if you don't get them all, you can get them afterwards from me. Genesis 22:14. We see the name Yahweh Yireh. As a youngster, I remember learning a chorus, Jehovah Jireh, same thing. It's just, as I said, there's no J in Hebrew. Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. Exodus 15:26. Yahweh Rophi, the Lord who heals. In Exodus 17:15, Yahweh Nissi, the Lord our banner. Leviticus 20:8, Yahweh Mekedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. You'd expect to see that name in the book of Leviticus. Judges 6:24, I'll give you the name, you can probably guess what it means. Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is our peace. In Psalm 23:1, you can say it by memory, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. Psalm 46:7, Yahweh Sabaoth. This is not the Lord who rests. This is not the Hebrew word Sabbath. Sabaoth is hosts, the Lord of hosts. The New Living Translation puts it, the Lord of heaven's armies, the powerful one. Ezekiel 48:35, Yahweh Shammah, the Lord is here. These are just some of the titles that are added to Yahweh to show His nature, to show who He is. But we can conclude that the identification of the divine name is Yahweh, I Am. That is His first and foremost name. Now, beyond the identification of the divine name are the implications of that name. In answer to the question, what is His name? God says to Moses, I am who I am. But as I mentioned, this is not just an abstract affirmation of pure existence. That's more Greek thought. God is, like the philosopher who said, I think, therefore I am. How profound. How totally meaningless. Right? I agree with Ravi Zacharias about modern philosophy. He said, philosophy without God is a blind man in a room without windows looking for a black cat that isn't there. Philosophy doesn't help us a whole lot when it comes to God. But when we see this word as God intends it, you see that it is an active word. It's actually based on a verb that you see in Exodus 3:12. God says to Moses, I will be with you. And it's that same root Hebrew word from which we get Yahweh. I will be with you. I am present. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always to the very end of the age. That is our God. He is. And He is always the same. This biblical concept of God's personhood refutes all philosophical ideas of God as merely a first cause or prime mover. Those of you that had to sit through philosophy class probably heard those phrases. They see God as a force. You remember Star Wars? The Force will be with you, right? Their idea was that God is not personal, it's just a power. And there are some religions and cults that believe that about God. He's not really personal, it's just a force. But the Bible says God is a person. He has an intellect, He has emotions, He has a will. That's how we bear His image and likeness. It's not that God looks like us. I hope He doesn't look like me. It's not a physical likeness, it's in personality. God is a person. In fact, He exists as three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's not just an abstract concept. This name Yahweh is associated with God's covenant with His people, and it speaks to the personal and relational nature of His character. Theologian Bernard Ram writes, "In our estimation, this is the greatest verse in Holy Scripture about the way we can know the true and living God. When God revealed not only what His name was, but what it meant. I am who I am." And this leads to the most important implication about the divine name. God wants us to know Him. Because knowing God is the most important thing in our lives. Another implication of the divine name is the tense in which it is written. Notice he says, I am. He doesn't say, I was who I was. He doesn't say, I will be who I will be. I am who I am. It's a present tense. He is the eternal one. There's a passage in the book of Psalms, Psalm 90, which is also attributed to Moses, by the way. Psalm 90 and verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." Our King James versions, "Thou art God." Notice, he does not say, before you brought everything into existence, you were God. He says, you are God. In fact, in the original Hebrew, there is no God at the end of that sentence. It literally reads, from everlasting to everlasting, thou. From everlasting to everlasting, you are. Which is the other way of saying, I am. See, not only did God exist before the beginning of time, and not only will God exist after time comes to a close, God is above time. God is not touched by time. We are time bound. Everything to us is past, present, or future. But to God, everything is now. He is not bound by time at all. And the implications of that are staggering. I'll give you one quick example. There have been times when I have heard of a need of someone far away, maybe a missionary overseas, and I have prayed for that need. Sometime later, I find out that situation was resolved weeks before I heard about it and prayed. And I used to think to myself, well, I guess that prayer was a waste of time. Not to God. God heard that prayer before that took place, even though it was said after. I know some of you are thinking, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. No, this is not the Twilight Zone. This is God's eternal nature. He is above time. He's never late. He's never in a hurry. God exists beyond our realm. You see, many believe in a generic God, just a God that's out there. We really can't know Him. If you've ever heard anybody claim to be an agnostic, doesn't mean they're an atheist. An atheist doesn't believe their God exists. An agnostic says there might be a God, but there's no way we can know Him. They're both wrong. There is a God, and we can know Him. He has revealed Himself to us in His holy word. He has given us His name. His name is Yahweh, I am. And everything that God has ever been, He is today. And what God is today, He will be tomorrow and forever. He does not change. And everything we're going to learn about God, everything we're going to learn about God the Son, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is our God. He is responsible for all that exists. He sovereignly directs all things to accomplish His will. And though our world is ever changing, He is. Yes, God has a name. It's not Howard. It's not Andy. His name is Yahweh, the great I Am. And that is also the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I have known some Christians who mistakenly believe that Yahweh is the name of the Father. Jesus is the name of the Son. That's not true. Yahweh is the name of God. And God exists as three persons. Have you ever noticed in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus says to His followers, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why didn't He say names? There's three of them, aren't there? Yeah, there's three persons, but there's one God, and there's one name. And that name is Yahweh. I Am. And over the next several weeks, we are going to look at the I Am statements of Jesus and understand that every time He uttered those words, He was identifying Himself as God. And then with the words that follow that statement, He tells us a little bit about who He is and what He does. So I encourage you to join in this journey as we discover who Jesus really is and what He means to us. We are going to see Jesus in the present tense.